Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Ezekiel, chapter 2. Ezekiel, chapter 2. We'll read the entire chapter together, all 10 verses. We'll read this passage responsively. Ezekiel, chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. Ezekiel chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. And he said unto me, Son of man, stand upon thy feet, and I will speak unto thee. And the Spirit entered into me when he spake unto me, and set me upon my feet, that I heard him that spake unto me. And he said unto me, Son of man, I send thee to the children of Israel, to a rebellious nation that hath rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me, even unto this very day. For they are impudent children, and stiff-hearted. I do send thee unto them, and thou shalt say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God. And they, whether they will hear, or whether they will forbear, for they are a rebellious house, yet shall know that there hath been a prophet among them. And thou, son of man, be not afraid of them, neither be afraid of their words. Though the briars and thorns be with thee, and thou doest dwell among scorpions, be not afraid of their words, nor dismayed at their looks, though they be a rebellious house. And thou shalt speak my words unto them, whether they will hear, or whether they will forbear, for they are most rebellious. But thou, son of man, hear what I say unto thee. Be not thou rebellious, like that rebellious house. Open thy mouth, and eat that I may give thee. And when I looked, and behold, a hand was sent unto me, and lo, a roll of a book was therein. And he spread it before me, and it was written within and without, and there was a writing their lamentations and mournings and woe. And let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this place. Lord, we've heard the word of God taught this morning in Sunday school and preached this morning. The altars were full. Tonight we've sung together and sung praises back to you, and oh, how I believe you're pleased. Lord, we're a needy people. We're a sinful people. And yea, even parts in our own lives are rebellious. Father, please fill our preacher with your power. Touch him in a very special way tonight. Use him to do what only you could do, and work through him, please. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
Tonight I'm going to speak to the hundreds of leaders that are here in our church. To those of you that would like the opportunity to lead for God someday, I hope that you'll listen. Tonight I speak to our Sunday school teachers, the assistant Sunday school teachers, our deacons and their wives, our staff, the bus captains and bus workers, the nursery directors, anybody who helps to lead this church. Every parent here is a leader. You youth workers and King's Kids workers and the Dunamis Club workers, our soul winning trainers, our coaches, our musicians. If you're a leader in any capacity in this work, I wish you'd listen tonight. The sermon I've entitled, Stand Up Like a Leader. Stand Up Like a Leader. In Ezekiel chapter 2, God makes a statement. He says, stand upon thy feet. That's what God says to Ezekiel. Then he begins to tell Ezekiel what he expects of him. Of course, this passage is God speaking to Ezekiel, who is a leader. And God challenges this leader to stand up like a man. Rise for the challenge before you. The Bible teaches us that Ezekiel was submitted to the Holy Spirit, and because of that, he receives the challenge that God puts forth. God said, He said, Ezekiel, I send you to lead my people. Then, as you read with Brother Bush, he begins to describe the people that Ezekiel is about to lead, and it's a tough crowd. He says they're rebellious. He said they're impudent. Meaning they show a bold disregard for the feelings of others. They're stiff-hearted, God said. They may listen, or they may not. God then tells Ezekiel how to react to these difficult people. He says, let them know by your behavior that there has been a prophet in their midst. Let them know by your behavior that there has been a leader in their midst. Let them see some real scriptural leadership. You know what's sad? Very few people have seen proper leadership in their lives. It's so few and far between. Leadership that is both soft yet strong. Leadership that has the proper balance. And God says to Ezekiel, Ezekiel, stand up there like a man, and if nothing else, when you lead these people, let it be known there was a man of God in their presence. Let them, if you have to walk away someday, let it be said, they'll say, that fellow right there was a leader. He said, God told Ezekiel, said, don't be afraid of them. Don't be afraid of what they say. God said, their briars and thorns will come your way. In other words, their attitude will be, it'll stick you, it'll poke at you. They'll stick it to you, you might say. You'll walk among scorpions, is how God described it. They will try to poison your attitude. Don't let their looks get to you. Preach, teach God's word, even if they don't listen. He even says here, if we look at every verse again very carefully, he says they are most rebellious. Then he said, and Ezekiel, after spending time with these kind of people, don't become like them. Don't become like them. God is saying, Ezekiel, I want you to learn to lead in a mature way. He's saying, lead like a spiritual adult. Be a man. Grow up into your position. Now listen, if you're a spiritual leader, you're going to become a target of the devil. Yes. I don't say that to scare you. I say that to warn you. The more greatly you're used of God, the greater your attack from the devil. The closer you are to the battle between good and evil, the more risk of being wounded. The devil wants to discourage you. The devil wants to distract you. The devil wants to disillusion you. The devil wants to depress you. I'm going to give you four areas tonight that I want every leader here and everyone to listen to. These four areas will strongly affect your longevity as a leader. You protect yourself in these four areas, you could hear the words, well done, thou good and faithful servant, someday. If you're not careful, though, you'll be put on a shelf. Hey, is it not true? Leaders come and go. They come and go. They come and go. They come and go. Listen to me, leadership. Listen to me this evening. I want you to keep leading. So you need to listen and learn and live what's taught here this evening. I want to talk to you about stand up like a leader. That was God's challenge to Ezekiel. He said, stand upon thy feet. He said, I want you to stand up there spiritually, and there's some things I want of you. Now let me warn you and tell you about some of the things that I see here. These four areas. Area number one, stand up like a leader and face hardship with some spiritual dignity. Stand up like a leader and face hardship with spiritual dignity. I'm going to read to you the first five verses again. You don't have to turn to them. It says, and he said unto me, son of man, stand upon thy feet, and I will speak unto thee. And the Spirit entered into me when he spake unto me and set me upon my feet, that I heard him that spake unto me. And he said unto me, son of man, I send thee to the children of Israel, to a rebellious nation that hath rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me, even in this very day. For they are impudent children and stiff-hearted. I do send thee unto them, and thou shalt say unto them, thus saith the Lord God. And they, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, for they are a rebellious house, yet shall know that there hath been a prophet among them. Now, here, God challenges Ezekiel, and he pretty well tells him, you're in for hardship. He says, you're about to deal with a tough group of people. It's going to be hard. And he said, let them see that you handle yourself well as a leader. He says, so they know there has been a prophet among them. Show them good quality spiritual leadership. No matter how they behave, you behave like a leader. Now, folks, let me tell you something. We should not let fellowship pull us down, but we ought to stay up where leaders are supposed to be. Let me tell you some areas of this hardship that could come upon you as a leader. And that's the first point. I want you to stand up as a leader and face hardship and do it with some spiritual dignity. For instance, learn to face discouragement like a leader. And some discouragements will come. It's going to come. Discouragement may come your way. You fight battle after battle, and that'll wear on you. It'll wear you down. Constantly holding the line for Jesus Christ can weaken a leader. But there's a reason, there's a reason why churches go liberal. I'll tell you why. It's a spiritual battle keeping a church where it ought to be. It's a spiritual battle keeping a revival type spirit in a church. It taxes you spiritually. It doesn't come easy. Look, if it came easy, everybody would be doing it. It doesn't come easy. It'll wear you down and it wears on you. Constantly holding the line for Jesus Christ. But I say to you, leader, do it and do it with dignity. We've got to do it. Hey, you take the example of Elijah. He stood at one point against 400 prophets. At another point, 450 false prophets of Baal. Then he had to face a gal by the name of Jezebel. And she was out to get him. Truth is, he fought all these prophets. He was wore out, covered with blood. He had gone to battle for God. Then he hears about this woman, Jezebel. She starts talking about, I'm going to get you. He got discouraged. He said, the last thing in the world I need to deal with right now is a long-tongued Jezebel. And he said, I'm getting out. I can't take this anymore. And he ran. Now, I thank God that he allowed God to come to him in that discouragement and refresh him and get him back on his feet and get back out to the firing line. But listen to me, you fight battle after battle after battle after battle. You can get discouraged. But you need to understand, God comes to Ezekiel, he said, now stand up there like a man. That's what other leaders face, and you're going to face it too. You know, there's another thing that wears on leaders, and that is when you work big, but you seem to produce little. You work big, put a lot of energy into things, but you seem to get so little out of it. Hey, such was the case of the prophet Jeremiah. Many years he had worked, and people wouldn't listen to him. His results were small. Listen to me, bus captain. You say, well, the ones I visit, and I visit, and I visit, and I just can't get my attendance up. Hey, Sunday school teacher. You say, but the ones I really do pray. I really do visit. I really do go soul winning. I really am trying to build my class. Hey, those of you working with the special needs ministry, every one of you, when we recruited you into those ministries, and I'm talking about the deaf, and those for the edge of the little slow, and those ministries that are unique, I told every one of you when you got into it, this is going to be slow. It's going to be slow. These are tough ministries to build. And Jeremiah went through that. The prophet Jeremiah did. He wanted to quit. Why? He put big work into little production, and it became hard for him. Listen to Jeremiah chapter 20, verse 9. Jeremiah said, then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. He's talking about his God. Jeremiah said, I'm discouraged. I've worked hard. I don't seem to be getting anywhere. I've just decided I'm not going to talk about Jesus anymore. Thank God. Thank God for the next thing he said, though. Because the Bible says, next thing he said was, but his word was in mine heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones. And I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay. In other words, he said, for a moment there, I've kind of given up, and I didn't think I could do it, and I just decided I can't talk about Jesus anymore. He said, but I couldn't get away from it. I had the Word of God down inside my heart, and because of that, it was like a burning fire, and I had to go tell somebody about Jesus. So yes, listen to me, leader. Indeed, discouragement comes, but stand up like a man. Face the hardship like other leaders in history have faced the hardship. Face the hardship that Elijah faced and get up and go do something for God. Face the hardship that Jeremiah faced. Then get up and go do something for God. Facing rejection can get you down, leader.
Yes, sir.
Samuel was a great leader. He's a prophet to God's people. Listen to what is said to Samuel.
1 Samuel chapter 8, verse 5 and 6, it says, "And said unto him, Behold, thou art old, and thy sons walk not in thy ways. Now make us a king to judge us like all the nations." But the thing displeased Samuel when they said, "Give us a king to judge us." That's what these people did. They went to Samuel, who was God's leader, and said, "You're old, and we don't want to follow you anymore. We reject your leadership. We want a king." And that'd be tough to take. That'd be real tough to take. You know something? If you're going to lead, you're going to be rejected.
Right.
You're going to be a leader. Somebody's going to reject you. They're going to turn their nose up at your leadership. It's going to happen to you over and over and over and over again. You know what God's answer was to this? God said, later on it said, "It's not you they're rejecting, it's me."
Right.
God came to Samuel and said, "Samuel, don't you worry. They've been rejecting me long before they started rejecting you. You're just getting in on a little bit of what I must face." And God is the ultimate leader, and God does not let rejection stop him from being God. And as a leader, you need to step up. Decide. You say, "I feel rejected, Brother Owens." Okay. How do you think Jesus felt when they crucified him? Step up, leader. Step up. Face the discouragement. Face it when you feel like you feel that discouragement come upon you. Step up when you work hard but get little results. Step up when you feel like, as a leader, you're being rejected. Hey, God said, "They rejected you long before they rejected me." Stand up like a man and face discouragement. That's point number one. You see, stand up like a leader and face the hardships of life with some spiritual dignity. You're now a leader in the army of the Lord. Secondly, stand up and face the fear of man like a leader. Stand up and face the fear of man like a leader. Boy, the human race is intimidated by each other. Ooh, boy, are we scared of one another. Oh my, are we fearful of one another. This is what God said to Ezekiel. He said, "And thou, son of man, be not afraid of them, neither be afraid of their words. Though briars and thorns be with thee, and thou dost dwell among the scorpions, be not afraid of their words, nor be dismayed at their looks, though they be a rebellious house." You know what he said? If you're going to be a good leader, Ezekiel, if you're going to stand up like a leader, don't be afraid of their words.
Right.
Don't fear them sticking it to you and making things uncomfortable for you. You're dwelling among the scorpions, but you can walk among the poison. He mentions the fear of their words twice because, boy, can people be vicious with their words. Oh, boy. They can be notorious with their words. He said, "Don't be dismayed at their looks." Oh, my. I've been preaching a long time. You wouldn't believe the looks that you can get from people. Rolling their eyes, showing their disgust. My mama warned me to be careful what I do, that my face might stick like that. I hope that someday somebody rolls both eyes back while I'm preaching and you just stick like that. We'll all know from now on, because all we see is the whites of your eyes, that you're an eye roller and you just stuck like that. Boy, they'll make faces at you. Listen to me, leaders. You keep on going. Stand up like a man. Face the fear of man as a leader. God warns Jeremiah of this very same thing. He says in Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 7 and 8, "But the Lord said unto me, Say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord." Hey, don't you be afraid to knock on those doors on your bus route. Don't you be afraid to go out there soul winning and tell somebody about Jesus. Don't you be afraid to tell somebody you don't do that because you're a Christian. Don't you be afraid to say, "No, I'm going to church tonight." Don't you be afraid to say, "Get your crummy hands off of me. I want to be pure when it's time to get married." Don't you be afraid of man. We've got to stand. Don't fear. Don't fear. Jesus had to warn the disciples about this fear issue. He said in Matthew 10:28, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul." He's warning us. Fear. Don't fear. Hey, leader, you will not be the leader that you need to be if you spend all your time with a fear of man. Proverbs 29:25 says, "The fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe." Peter let the fear of man hurt his leadership when he denied Christ.
Right.
Remember when Peter was following afar off, Jesus Christ was on his way to the cross of Calvary. There were some people standing around the devil's fire that began to quiz Peter about his association with Jesus Christ. And he was afraid to be found an associate of Christ. And boy, did he hurt his name. Now listen, Peter was a leader. What had happened? He had allowed the fear of man to get his leadership down. Don't you let fear stop you as a leader. Abraham let his fear of man hurt his leadership while he was in Egypt. He had a fear of man. See, he had gone into Egypt and it caused him to lie about his wife. And this is what happened. Abraham's wife was very beautiful. Abraham was afraid that if he told the people as they entered Egypt that his wife was his wife, that they would kill him so they could have her. So when they asked who she was, he said, "She's my sister." He was afraid of man. He was afraid of man. And he messed up. Because of fear of man, he thought that they would kill him to get his wife. You know something? He should have stood up and said, "So be it. If you kill me, defending my wife, so be it. So be it. I'm a leader. You men, stand up. And stand up and do right according to you and by your family." The fear of man could come in many forms. The fear of man may come in regard to physical harm. I remember some months ago, and some of you will remember me telling the story. I was leaving the country, and I was going to a foreign land, and I was going to preach. Right before time to go, I got a threatening email that said, if I came to such and such city and such country, and I preached at such and such church, they were going to kill me. It was a very serious threat. Now, I could have canceled the meeting, but I just could not see how that could be possible if God would give His Son willingly to die for me. I've got to take a chance for God. And I'm glad that I didn't cancel. And as you can see, I'm still here. Now, I'm glad I'm still here because I'm one of my favorite people. I had to go. The fear of man. What do we fear? We begin fearing. We fear the loss of financial support, or fear of being abandoned, or fear of being unpopular. John 6, verse 66 says, "From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him." You know something? Jesus had to face this very thing. Jesus had to keep on going even when people were turning on Him, even when people were betraying Him, even when people said, "I love you," they weren't backing Him and loving Him. Listen to me, leaders. You've got to learn to lead. You've got to keep on going. And you can't let fear of man intimidate you out of doing what God's called you to do. Hey, fear destroys faith.
Right, yeah.
Fear destroys faith. There are people in here. There are people in here with bus routes. You'd have a bigger bus route if you weren't such a coward.
Right.
There are houses you bypass on your bus route because you're afraid to knock on the door. There are people here that you fear your neighbor. You won't invite your neighbor to church. You fear them. You say, "Well, they got a big bank account." So whether they're from a wealthy family, have you stopped to realize who your father is? You're from a pretty wealthy family yourself. Oh, the fear of man. Fear destroys faith. And God says to Ezekiel, He said, "And thou, son of man, be not afraid of them." So He starts out the chapter and He says, "Ezekiel, stand up there like a man. Lead like a man." It begins to tell how difficult the task ahead of Ezekiel is going to be. And He tells him, "You lead on with spiritual dignity, and you make sure you keep on going even if discouragements come." Then He said, secondly, "Don't you let fear stop you, Ezekiel. If you're going to be the right kind of a leader, you're not going to let fear remove your faith." Thirdly, He said, "Stand up, and like a leader, be an example." Ezekiel chapter 2, verse 7 and 8, it says, "Thou shalt speak my words unto them, whether they will hear, or whether they will forbear, for they are a most rebellious. But thou, son of man, hear what I say unto thee, be not thou rebellious like the rebellious house. Open thy mouth and eat that I give thee." You see, He says, now, I don't want you to become rebellious like them. Don't you become rebellious like them. You be an example to them. Don't be like them. Leaders are supposed to be different. Hey, rebellion is contagious. Bad attitude is contagious. Oh, yeah, yeah. Criticism is contagious. Being defeated is contagious. I like being around victory. I like spending time around Jesus because there's victory in Jesus. There's some people you just can't be around very long. They'll steal the victory right out of your soul. You get around them and everything's falling apart. I don't like watching the news because every week you die from something new. You die from drinking milk. You die from eating this, die from eating that, die from breathing air. Well, I'm going to die in peace. I don't want to hear about what kills me. Oh, hey, are you one of those kind of people that steal victory from people? Steal that spiritual determination from people? But that's what happens. And God says here to Ezekiel, He says to him, He says, now, you stand up there like a leader, and you be an example, and be not thou rebellious like that. You know what He's saying? While you're busy leading rebellious people, while you're busy leading unfaithful people, while you're busy leading critical people, while you're busy leading unspiritual people, while you're busy leading lazy people, while you're busy leading cowardly people, don't you get lazy. Don't you become critical. Don't you become negative. You're the leader. God said, stand up there and realize who you are, what you are, and who picked you, and be a man. That's what He's telling him. He's telling Ezekiel, better watch out, buddy. Don't lower yourself to their style of behavior. Moses made this mistake. He dealt with the rebellious people in the wilderness so long, one day, it got to him. He got in him a rebellious spirit, lost his temper, and threw a fit with God. I'm sure after Moses threw a fit and started swinging his staff and beating on rocks and throwing things, I'm sure he came to himself and said, oh my, I'm acting like the idiots. You listen to me, leaders. Don't you let people pull you down to act like them. He said, but my followers are stubborn. I don't mean you have to be stubborn. That's what God's telling Ezekiel here. God was warning Ezekiel that he should not let the constant walk with the rebellious change him. He said, Ezekiel, your job is to change them. They are not to change you. In other words, Ezekiel, as a leader, you continue to be patient. As a leader, you continue to be kind. As a leader, you go slow and you love and you lead right. They're rebellious. But you don't have to become rebellious. They're impudent, but you don't have to become impudent. They're stiff-hearted, but you don't have to become stiff-hearted. They won't listen, and they won't reason properly, but you don't have to have deaf ears. Hey, don't start making rebellious expressions on your face, Ezekiel, just because the followers are. Don't backstab people, leader, just because the followers are. Don't speak poisonous words like a scorpion, leader, just because the followers are. If the followers are harsh in their fellowship, you continue to lead in kindness and strength. God is warning Ezekiel that as a leader, if he's not careful, he'll begin to lead the way the followers were following. And leaders are not to lead the way the followers are following. They're to lead the way God wants them to lead. He said, well, my wife was screaming and yelling and throwing a fit. Well, sir, that does not give you the right to scream back. You see, somehow we think that if the fellowship is deteriorated, it's okay for the leadership to take a couple steps down. And the truth is, you're to keep your spiritual dignity. Leadership is to be leadership 24/7. That's all there is to it. This world seen very few. And God said to Ezekiel, He said, Ezekiel, look, if you can't influence them, if you can't affect them, when you leave town, you just make it so everyone says, yeah, that guy was a leader. We've seen him. We've seen him when discouragement comes, he was a leader. We've seen him when it was hard. We've seen him be an example. We watched him. We watched that the fear of man did not tamper with his feelings, his convictions. I knew a great man of God. I won't mention his name. I preached for him on many, many occasions. He took the church. It was a church that had left the old time ways. Happens all the time, happening all across the nation today. He had took a church that had left the old time ways. He was an old time fundamentalist. He wanted to bring that church back to where it was supposed to be. He went there. He did what was right. He was patient. He was slow. But the problem was, he was so slow that instead of changing his church and getting them back on track, they changed him. And that's not good leadership. Hey, look, Sunday school teacher, you're supposed to be leading that Sunday school class. I said, that's your job. That's your job. You see, God came to Ezekiel, said, Ezekiel, you stand up there. You lead like a leader. You understand something. It's going to be hard. But you take those discouragements and that hardship. You do it with dignity. He said to him, he said, you make sure that you don't let the fear of man change you. You be what you're supposed to be. Fear is going to do away with your faith. Stand up like a leader. Be a good example. They're not to be changing you. You're to be changing them. And then finally, he said, Ezekiel, stand up like a leader and walk in the Spirit of God. Ezekiel chapter 2, verse number 2, the Bible says, and the Spirit entered into me when he spake unto me, and set me upon my feet. Now understand something. You know who it is that helped him to stand up on his feet like a leader? It's the Holy Spirit of God. It says, and set me upon my feet, that I heard him that spake unto me. Notice, the Spirit entered into him. Ezekiel allowed it. Notice the Spirit spake unto him. Ezekiel knew that his ears were tuned in to the Holy Spirit of God. I'm going to tell you all something. You're not a good leader. You're not a good leader if you're not in submission to the Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit of God is to be leading your ministry, not you. Not you. There's way too many human beings leading God's ministry when the Holy Spirit of God is to be leading their ministry. Notice it says, and set me upon my feet. The Holy Spirit helped him to stand up like a man and be the right kind of a leader. All the rest of this text, all the way through verse number 10, is the Holy Spirit speaking to Ezekiel. That's what's happening here. Can I tell you something? Nobody who's filled with the Holy Spirit has ever had a nervous breakdown. Nobody that's filled with the Holy Spirit has ever had a nervous breakdown. You say, how is that? Well, the Holy Spirit can sustain your spirit. A man said, well, Dr. Phil, you know, the psychologist, proclaimed the way to divert a nervous breakdown is to finish all the things that you started and never finished. So a man said, I looked around my house to see all the things I started and had not finished. And before leaving the house this morning, I finished off 23 Bud Lights, a bottle of Jack Daniels, a package of Oreos, double stuff, the remainder of the cheesecake, some Doritos, a box of chocolates, and a can of Skol. You have no idea how good I feel. Nervous breakdown delayed. You listen. See, I'm going to crack up. You won't crack up if you're filled up with the Holy Spirit. I've never seen anybody filled with the Holy Spirit about to crack up. Never. I haven't ever seen it. Ezekiel chapter 2, verse number 9 says, and when I behold, and this is here we are all the way to the end of the chapter, and I'm almost finished. You stay with me. At the end of the chapter, Ezekiel says in verse number 9, and when I looked, behold, an hand was sent unto me, and lo, a roll of a book was therein. Now here's what's happening. Ezekiel is submitted to the Holy Spirit of God. Ezekiel hears all the warnings about how to sustain himself as a leader. God says, Ezekiel, stand up there like a man. Take the discouragement. Don't fear men. You can do this, Ezekiel. You can do it. Be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. You can do this, Ezekiel. He hears all of it. And he is submitted to the Spirit of God so he can lead properly. He looks up and the Bible says, and in the midst of the Holy Spirit speaking to me, an hand was sent unto me. That's the helping hand of God to help any leader. If you'll do your part, God will render your aid. There'll be a helping hand to help you keep leading. But you've got to do your part. God said, now Ezekiel, I've told you what to do. You just keep doing what you're supposed to do. And when it gets so tough, you don't think you can go on. You look, there'll be a hand that'll come down there and He'll make it a whole lot easier for you. There's a hand. He will, that helping hand of the Holy Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit of God, He'll stabilize you. The Holy Spirit of God, He will strengthen you. The Holy Spirit of God, He will energize you. The Holy Spirit of God, He will protect your decisions. The Holy Spirit of God, He'll give you insight so you can make good decisions. He said, I'll help you. You'll have a helping hand that's going to show up. You know, most leaders' problems with people are caused because someone is not filled with the Holy Spirit of God.
Right.
Most leadership, most people that struggle in the church with each other, somebody's not filled with the Spirit of God. I guarantee it. Guarantee it. You know something? We have a child misbehaves, teenager misbehaves at Martinsburg Christian Academy. So we got to talk to a parent about the child's misbehavior. I never worry about dealing with certain parents because I think they walk in the Spirit. But if you deal with someone that's in the flesh, you're in for a battle. Somebody else's fault. Everybody picks on my kid. It's always somebody else's fault. You can tell who's not filled with the Spirit. You almost fear dealing with them. You know something? Two adults in the church can get along just fine if both were filled with the Holy Ghost. Somebody's not filled with the Spirit, though. And when somebody's not filled with the Spirit, somebody gets a kicking. They feel like they're walking among the scorpions. You feel like people are stabbing at you. You feel like they're mad at you. They roll their eyes and you don't know how to contend with it. What's the problem? Somebody's not filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will calm your spirit. But you can tell when someone's not filled with the Spirit of God. But the Spirit of God controls a behavior. The Spirit of God gets us to act a certain way, behave a certain way, love a certain way, lead a certain way. You want to survive as a leader? Get filled with the Holy Spirit, because I'm going to tell you why. Because you're going to deal with people that are not. They're going to come at you in the flesh, and you can't take it in the flesh. 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 When they come at you, and they're in the flesh, and they don't read their Bible, and they don't pray, and they're fakes. They come to church, but they're fakes. They're not really filled with the Holy Ghost. When they come at you, they've got their knife out, want to stab you in the back, talk bad about you, bad mouth you. Let me tell you what you better do. You better be filled with the Holy Ghost or you can't take it. You'll be out of the ministry just like that. You'll be out of leadership just like that. They'll tear you to shreds. When they're coming at you and you're thinking, I don't think I can take much more, don't you worry. You'll see a hand coming to say, relax, calm down. You can take it. You can make it. You can do this. So let me tell you, nursery director, this time somebody's coming at you and you're not filled with the Holy Ghost, you're in trouble, aren't you?
Right,
nursery worker? Next time somebody comes at you and they're in the flesh and they're carnal, and you're not filled with the Holy Spirit, you're going to jump right in and slap back, gossip back, fight back. Well, next time somebody in the music department's upset with you, if you're not filled with the Holy Spirit, they'll tear you to shreds, make you want to quit your job. But always, you better stay filled with the Holy Spirit, because God knows there ain't no youth director that does things right for somebody else's teenager. When they come at you in their carnal, fleshly way, if you're filled with the Holy Spirit of God, you might be able to take it. If not, son, you won't last in the ministry. Brother Bush, there ain't no hope, man. I ain't ever seen the principal last very long. You are everybody's problem. Every kid here that gets bad grades, it's your fault. Every kid here that gets demerits, it's your fault. Every kid here that gets into it with some other kid, it's your fault. Every teacher here that somehow hurts little Waldo, it's your fault, buddy. And I'm as serious as I could be, Brother Bush. You better be filled with the Holy Spirit of God, or you'll be history. You and I planned on doing this until the day we die. But Brother Bush, you won't make it if you're not filled with the Holy Ghost of God. And Brother Nash, you won't make it unless you're filled with the Holy Ghost of God. And Joshua, you won't make it. And Brother Young, you won't make it. Brother Bajan, you won't make it. Hey, Shaf, you won't make it. Hey, Christian school teacher, you're not going to make it. I'm telling you, you better get on your face. You better make sure you're up close to God, Brother John, because somebody's going to get mad at you someday, and they're going to make you want to quit. I've been doing it a long time. And I can always tell when you get to me is when I haven't been with Him. I can take about anything anybody throws at me as long as I'm filled with the Holy Ghost of God. I can take any punch you throw at me. I can take the punches across the country. But when Jeff Owens hasn't been with his God, Jeff Owens is weak. And he's in the flesh. And he's apt to behave the way everybody else in the flesh behaves. It's mandatory that a leader be led and filled with the Spirit of God, or you won't lead for long. You won't lead for long. God came to Ezekiel. He said, Ezekiel, stand up there like a man. Now, Ezekiel, I'm going to tell you, it's going to be tough to lead. Hardship's going to come. Face it with dignity. Show them spiritual leadership. Ezekiel, don't you fear, man, because fear will dilute your faith. Ezekiel, you lead by example. You change them. Don't let them change you. Ezekiel, you'll be able to do all this if you walk in the Spirit. If you try to do all that in the flesh, they'll wear you out. People often say, Brother Owens, you're a really happy person. I am. I am a happy Christian. I'm a happy pastor. I'm a happy camper. Boy, I just about imagine if I didn't get my time with God, I could be depressed real quick. Brother Dawes, by God's mercy and grace, we ain't going there. I want to stay close to the Holy Spirit of God. Hey, are you filled with the Holy Spirit of God? You wouldn't have that nasty attitude, that lack of forgiveness. That ain't of the Holy Ghost. Hard to lead. Ezekiel, stand up there like a man. And I'll help you so you can lead. He said, Brother Owens, I wonder if you do all that and they don't follow anyway. God said, if that's the case, when you get out of Dodge, they'll have to say, that was a man. That was a man. We don't do it because we think they'll respond to it. We'll do it because it's right. So every leader in the church, if you'll do what I told you tonight, we'll just all keep this thing going for the next 30 years. If not, that may come a day you won't be on staff anymore. It happens all the time, doesn't it? Maybe it may come a day you won't be a leader anymore. You won't be a Sunday school teacher anymore. You won't be a bus captain anymore. I don't want that for you. I don't want that for you. I look back here at Mrs. Costa. I tell you what, you secretaries, where's Stacy? Stacy, Mrs. Costa, Mrs. Duke, Mrs. Russell. Man, what them women can put up with. Can't get to the male leaders, you go gripe to the women. Tell you what, you won't survive it unless you get you to walk with God. To where when they're thumping on you, on the inside, you're going, nah, 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 nah. You can't get my spirit. You can't get my spirit. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes.